me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, and his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood.
Let me invite you over to the Gospel of John this morning. Chapter 14, verse 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12 reads this way. Jesus speaking, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, as your church, your body, Lord, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, to fill our lives, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit, that you might be exalted, not only in this place, but in our lives, that the world might see there is a God that makes the difference in our life. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "The works that I do shall he do also." That was Jesus. He said that. "The works that I do shall he do also," or we can call it the key to understanding God's intent to his children, what God intended for you and I as his children. So this morning we want to take a few moments to consider something I'm afraid that's very misunderstood, and therefore a lot is missed concerning the promises of God to his children. And we don't want to miss that. But let me ask you this morning before we get started. Are you in a place this morning, right now, in your heart, in your mind, to hear from the Lord? Have you made preparations to hear from God this morning? Well, I appreciate that. A lot of people shaking their heads north and south. That's a good way to go. Don't answer this one, though, but how did you make preparations for that? Well, I hope you spent time calling upon the Lord. And you might say, "Well, I call upon the Lord all the time." Yeah, but today or last night or this morning, did you call upon the Lord and say, "God, that I might hear from you"? That's all it takes. Isn't that amazing? That's called prayer. And prayer really is the same as asking God for what we need. And I don't know how you feel. I think I do, but I need to hear from the Lord. I hope you do as well. And so we want to consider what the Lord has to say for us. And I want you to notice something here in verse 12 concerning the promise that God has made to a specific individual. Notice verse 12 again. He says, "Verily, verily," which can be rendered, "Truly, truly." That's what the Lord is saying. "I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Can you tell me who the Lord is speaking to? Well, contextually, we can say he's talking to his apostles because they were there. We could also say he was talking to his disciples because they were there. But wait a minute, was he talking to believers as well? Would that include you and I? So the Lord is speaking to us and wanting to convey an important truth to the believer that he knew would transcend through all the ages, through all the generations, until we stand before him one day. And this is what he said. This is what the Lord said. He said, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Does that include us this morning? Let me try that again. Does that include us this morning? Amen? Because if we don't believe that, we'll never take possession of it, because unbelief will hinder our possession of the promises of God. Has nothing to do with our salvation if we're saved already. That's in God's hands. We are saved not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to be the atonement on our behalf to pay for all of our sins. And so we have eternal life because of his mercy, his grace, and his righteousness that has been put to our account. Not our righteousness. Aren't you glad? You know why we ought to be glad that it's not our righteousness? Because our righteousness, even still today, are as what? May we never forget that. You and I do not enter into the presence of God on our righteousness. You and I do not enter into heaven in our righteousness. We only approach it through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the flesh, the devil, or the world convince you. You cannot approach the Lord because you can because of the righteousness and mercy of God that he has given to every one of his believers, every one of his children. And so he says, the works that I do, shall he do also. Notice this. Wait. And mediocre works. No. Greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Now, this is important. Do you know that God, listen, God is our heavenly Father. God the Father is our heavenly Father. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, right? And we believe in a triune God just as we, and they're all one. They're all the same. Now, the Lord, when he became incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, he relinquished some of that. He never stopped being God. We call him, to try to understand it in our own vernacular, the God-man, because he became man and he was still God. Amen? And we thank the Lord for that, because he was able to suffer on our behalf that we might have eternal life. But he was always still the Lord. And we have been made, fathom this, there's a reason that you and I have been made in whose image? In God's image. Isn't that amazing? And we call him Heavenly Father. Now listen, this morning this is important because some people, I'm afraid, and we'll look at this here this morning, some people say, well, I'm going to ask God for a whole lot. You're not doing yourself any favors and you're not doing God any favors. God saved you and I so that we could have direct access to the throne room of God to ask him for the things that he wants to give us and for the things that you and I stand in need of. Some people think it's really spiritual. I don't want to ask God for anything so he doesn't have to tell me no. I'll just take it. I'll just, you know, a little shack in heaven's all right with me. That's not what God's promise is. It's a mansion in heaven. We serve a big God. We serve an infinite God who has promised to freely give us all things because he's given to us his Son. So to not ask God for things and to do things in our lives every day is not doing you and I or God any favors or bringing him any glory. Now, we can have the tendency to think, you know what, well, I really don't want to ask my Heavenly Father of all that much. I promise you, listen, that is the natural realm in us that would think that. Because God wants, listen, God is glorified in your life and mine by freely giving to us all the things that he has promised every day. And we have to battle the natural realm. And by the way, listen, did Peter struggle with the natural realm? We've discussed Peter several times, have we not? All the apostles, didn't two of them say, hey, look, didn't the mom say of two of them, put one of my sons on your right side, one of, when you get into your kingdom, one on the left? And boy, that didn't set well with anybody, did it? Even all the disciples were upset at them for what the mom had asked for. Isn't that nice? That's when you're like, Mom, please. but here's the thing. Listen, God intended for you and I to receive spiritual truths. But we have to be on guard concerning our natural thinking. Because the natural thinking thinks it's something real noble not to ask God for something. That's the natural realm. God says, oh no, it's not honoring to me for you not to ask me for what I promised to give you. It does not, listen, what good would it do you and I if our Father were the wealthiest human being on planet Earth, our natural father, and we were out on the side of the road begging? Would that honor our father, our earthly father? Or would he say, my son or my daughter, I'm the wealthiest individual. Why would you live like this? Just ask me and I'll give you what you need. And our heavenly Father is greater than our natural father, and he fits that position. He is that. And so God is honored and glorified by you and I coming to Him. Listen, the reason, one of the reasons why God's people are not experiencing the blessings of God is simply because they're not asking God. And maybe have come to this idea that that's a noble thing. I don't want to ask God. I'll be happy with what I have or what I can provide for myself and miss out on what God has already promised for everyone that knows Him. So watch this here. Notice verse 13 here. We're in 12. Verse 12. Look at verse 13. And whatsoever. Now remember in 12, He said, hey, listen, you're going to do the works that I do. Jesus is saying this. But not only that, but you're going to do greater works because He goes unto the Father. So is God's intent that you and I do what Jesus did? Did you just see that in the verse 12 there? Is it God's intent that we do greater things than what Jesus did? Oh, I don't know that I want to do that. Well, I want you to know Jesus Himself said it. It's not blasphemous. It is God honoring, and it's, listen, it's dishonoring for us not to ask Him, not to understand that truth and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to prove You this day and for the rest of my life. Now watch this, look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, isn't that good? That will I do. Is Jesus speaking? He is. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did you see that? How is God glorified? By you asking and Him giving it to you. He says, the Father is glorified in the Son and Him doing that. I didn't make that up. Now, the world would maybe tell you something different, and the flesh may battle with that, but I'm telling you, that's where we have to come to the place where I'm going to listen to what God is saying, I'm going to trust what He's saying, and not how I feel or how I think. Or we're going to miss out on some very powerful blessings that God wants to give to you and I. So this is how the Father is glorified in the Son, by doing things in your life and mine. Look at verse 14. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. I will do it. Oh boy, let's see now. I want a mansion here. I want my own jet airliner. I want my own train. I want a billion-dollar business. We're in the wrong business. Amen? Because we want to ask God what He's promised to give us. How about this one? Even better than a business or my own jet airliner, how about the peace of God? How about the joy of God? How about the Spirit of Christ guiding my heart and mind to see things as God sees them? And to see those for whom He died, that I might allow the Spirit of Christ to dwell in me richly as He's promised, that they might see my Savior and not me. Because I know who I am, and who I am is not going to do anything for God, but who God is in me, well, that's a different story altogether, isn't it? And then notice what He says here, verse 15. So He says, I'm going to do whatever you ask Me. And isn't it amazing that He even gives us a good suggestion here? Now, it's not even a suggestion, really. It's an important call to obedience when He says in verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. How many of us need help there? Amen? Hey, God, Lord, I need You to keep Your commandments. In fact, let's go one step better. You do it in me. Amen? You do it in me. Because Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to strengthen you and I. Jesus Christ died on the cross that you and I might deny ourselves and allow Him to live through us. That's biblical truth. So God, You live through me because without You, I can do. Oh, isn't that amazing? And my goodness, we know that, but isn't it easy to forget? And then notice this here. We find here eternal security. Now watch this in verse 16. Notice what He says. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Do you know who that comforter is? Who is it? Just checking. All right, that's important. And notice this comforter, the Holy Spirit. That He may abide with you for a little while. For a year? Half your life? Forever, that's what the Bible says. Amen. Forever. So if the Holy Spirit indwells you and I forever, can you ever lose that? Forever's a long time. Can you tell me when forever's over? It's just getting started. In a million years, listen, forever will just be getting started. And if there'll be no time, but Mike, listen, that just hurts my brain. I don't think we'll be counting weeks, months, years, decades, scores. I don't think we'll be counting centuries, millennium. I don't think we'll be counting time in heaven when we stand before the Lord. So the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. Now, he was not just given yet, but he has been given now after the resurrection, hasn't he? After the day of Pentecost, he empowered the church that was already in existence during his earthly ministry. Notice verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, and that's capitalized, isn't it? Did you see that? Even the Spirit of truth, he abides with you and I forever. Has God fully equipped the believer? The question is whether or not we believe it. Because we've been equipped. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Did you see that? But you know him. Do you know him? Do you really know him? How about this? Oh God, in the name of my blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might know the Spirit in me in a better way. Can you learn any more about the Spirit of God? Remember, he's infinite. Maybe I should say this. Do you know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit? I would dare say that'd be a good thing to ask the Lord for, that I might know him better, that I might be able to sense his guidance and his leadership in my life, that he might do his will in me and your will in me. That's good. Amen. All right. So we find this is an experience. He says, I will not leave you comfortless in verse 18. I will come to you. Is that a promise from the Lord? Amen. He's going to come to, remember now in verse 12, he's speaking to believers. He's not just speaking to the disciples that are there. He's speaking to you and I. I'm going to come to you. May I tell you this? I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ simply because I said a prayer somewhere. I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because I've made a commitment somewhere. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he has revealed his mercy and his grace to me. He has made that real. I was blind, but now I see concerning spiritual things. And I watch him work in my life and he substantiates my faith. So the lost world may say, well, you can't substantiate your faith. Well, you cannot substantiate, for sure, evolution. But I will tell you, creation is a complete agreement with every true scientific law. Not theory, but every law that is written down, the creation account agrees with. And there's no problem there. But God is in the business of substantiating, giving you solid footing for why we believe what we believe. When David went out against Goliath, remember? Was his faith not substantiated? Did he not say like the lion and the bear? What was that? That was God substantiating his faith and his promise and what he promised to do. God is in the business of substantiating our faith that he's given to us. Listen, it's not my faith. And yet you can say it's my faith, but I want you to know it's the faith that God has given to me because I didn't believe him because I couldn't see and understand what he was all about. And then he opened up, he drew me to the Son, the Father, and convicted me of my need of salvation. That's why I tell you we're not in the business of debating or arguing anybody into eternal life. It's got to be God that does that work. But it doesn't just stop there. It is a sad commentary to me for people not to know why they believe. Well, I just made that decision some years ago, and they don't see any of the working of God in their life. That reminds me about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom. He says, I'll say to them in that day, that's too late then, isn't it? When they stand before the Lord, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And they were doing good things. Why? Because our righteousness still are as filthy rags. And they will say unto me, listen, if Jesus says this is going to happen, is it going to happen? So Jesus, this is not a parable. Jesus is saying, in that day, one day, you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and these poor souls that thought they were committed to God, served the Lord, did many wonderful things in the name of God, will hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Listen, Jesus said this, "Ye that work iniquity." That's another one of those things where God's going to have to wipe away our tears. Because it will break every one of God's children's heart to think that there were people that were self-deluded. So God wants us to know, listen, if God's not substantiating the faith that he gave you in your life, you better ask God to do something. You better not be one of those ones that they don't even see. You know, they just kind of go and do their thing and the religious thing and miss God completely. And that's a warning from the Lord. As we look to our text, is God wanting to do a work in the life of the believer? Does God want to substantiate your faith and mine that he has given to us? He does. He wants to confirm it. So notice what happens here. Verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Now listen, he's talking in the present tense. But he's saying, you're going to see me, I'm going to go away, the world's not going to see me, but you're going to see me. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. "At that day ye shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye" where? "In me, and I in you." So could it possibly be, and it is, that Jesus wants to live his life in you and I as his children? That's the only thing that's going to glorify him. Isn't that a hard lesson to learn? I thought I had to get busy and do something for God. And God say, no, I want to get busy for you and in you and through you. You just have to invite me and ask me. You just have to ask me. Because if you ask me, guess what he's going to do? He's going to answer. He's going to do it. All right. Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will" what? "Manifest." That's another substantiation that takes place in the life of the believer. "Manifest myself to him." Is God manifesting his life in your life, to you? If not, that's a good thing to ask the Lord. Didn't he say he'll answer? If you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it. And not only, you're going to do the same things that I did, but whoa, wait a minute. You're going to do greater things because I'm going to the Father. And because he went to the Father, he gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's how we can do greater things, not because of us, but because of the Comforter like himself. Verse 22, "Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Good question. Listen, may I tell you this? There are no dumb questions with God. There are no dumb questions. If you're confused or befuddled about something spiritually speaking, bring it to the Lord and ask him to give you clarity. You will be surprised at his answer. He will give you what you need. Why? He promised. He promised. Notice this. "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, notice, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Oh God, to love you. And that I might watch you fulfill your will in my life. To love you. And you know what? Listen. When we know who we are, and we see God fulfilling his commandments in our life, we will worship God. We will say, "Oh God, I know it's you. I can't do it." And we will be brought to the place of worship. You won't have to discipline yourself for prayer. You'll be too busy, caught up in the rapture of thanking God for the work that he's doing. Jesus answered and said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode." He will manifest himself. Now he's going to make his abode. That's where you live. God's going to live in and through us. He's at home. Is he talking to just the disciples here, or was he talking to you and I too, the believers? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Oh, if I'm not keeping the Lord's saying, that's another good thing to call upon the Lord for. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now watch this. But the Comforter, in case you wondered who he is, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you how much? All things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's found in the canon of Scripture right here. One more place, and we're finished tonight, or this morning. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, just for a moment. It does not honor the Lord for us to think that we're being gracious by not asking him to do anything for us. It does not honor him. It does honor him to answer our prayers when we call upon him. The Father says that the Son is glorified in you when you do that, for him to answer. He is glorified. That's how the Father is glorified, through the Son in us when we ask him. Now he wants us, listen, is God our Heavenly Father? Have we been made in the image of God? So we're just, because of salvation, we are just another copy of the Lord, amen? And I say that to say this, when God sees you and I, because of the blood, he sees a son or a daughter. Amen. Listen, when your son or your daughter has a need and they ask you for it, and you've got it within your means to do it, does it not make you happy to do it for them? Amen. Huh? Sometimes to a fault. I won't mention any names, but sometimes to, I don't really know anybody, but sometimes to a fault we can do that. How do I know that? I have seen it in my family. I have seen some people that are always asking, and you're thinking like, no, this is not good. This is not good. And the parent or the grandparent just, here it is. Why do they do that? That's it. Now listen, it's the love of God. We are a fractured picture of that. Amen? But the love of God is pure. And that's who we're petitioning, the pure love of God. And we can rest, Lord, this is what I'm asking. I believe I need it, and I leave it with you. Amen? There are so many things to watch God work in if we can get our eyes off the material, physical realm. There are so many things that God can do for us. Now, this is Jesus again, and Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 5, and he's trying to convey an important message here to the believers. Luke 11, 5 says this, and he said unto them, these are believers, right? These are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Do you have any friends that won't throw a rock at you at midnight? Amen. Those are good friends. For a friend of mine, in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I'm in a pickle. He's kind of popped up at midnight. I don't have anything to give him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. That's a typical answer from a good friend. That's a good answer from a good friend. But did he go away? He didn't go away. I say unto you, verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity, that we call that persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, I want you to know that's your friend. That's not our Heavenly Father. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. But he did make that analogy. Don't stop asking if you haven't gotten it. You can use that. But he wants us to know that's our friend, not our Heavenly Father. He's going to do it. And he says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Is that God's promise to you? Mm-hmm. Amen. For everyone that asketh, oh, look at this, receiveth. Amen. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Listen, fathom this thought. Your life filled with God working in your life, giving you answers every day. Working in your life, doing things every day. You think you're going to walk with a little bit of the joy of God in your life? If God is actively involved, you're praying and you're going, oh my goodness, there's another one. Praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, look, he did it again. And then we'll do some crazy prayers like this. Do it again, God, do it again. Glory be to the name of the Son of God. Amen? And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has placed me into his family. The people of God will have something to shout about. The world already thinks we're off our rocker. Let them see it. Let God do it. I'm not saying that we fabricate that. I'm just saying that we see God substantiate the faith that he's given to you and I by his working in our lives. Listen, I didn't get into this ministry because I thought it was a good thing to do. Praise by the mercy of God, he called me, a broken, unfit vessel, to preach the mercy of God and the blessings of God by his grace. That's it. Isn't that what Paul said? I am what I am by what? The grace of God. Can you not say that too? But wait a minute. Are you what you should be by the grace of God? Or have we slacked off because we're afraid of maybe not getting any answers? That's not faith. That's the flesh. Throw that stuff away. God has promised to make his abode. He's promised to manifest himself and make his abode in your life and mine. Now watch this. So, in verse 10, God tells us, if you ask, you're going to receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to be opened. And then here's the important part here, and we're finished here. Verse 11. For if a son or a daughter, see, this is a different relationship than the friend. See, Jesus does call his disciples friends, but even more than that, you're a son or a daughter. You are a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I making that up? No. Is that in the Word of God? Amen. Is all of the Word of God the truth? Yes. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, you know what that means? The worst of the worst, the best of the best. Any of you that is a father, isn't that something? Will he give him a stone? As bad as we can be pretty self-centered. That's our nature. Mm-hmm. But if they really need bread, are you going to give them a stone? That's our Heavenly Father. Jesus was saying that so that we would understand the love of the Father to us. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? That'd be a nice present, wouldn't it? God wouldn't do that. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Would we pull a trick like that? If ye then, being evil, he spells it out for us, doesn't he? Know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What does that mean? You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We read that back in John. The leadership, the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our lives into the love of God, to enable us to see that the world that may hate us are also those for whom Christ died. That we might see things through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and not through the natural realm. And that he might guide us and work through us in such a way that we praise and we worship him. Why is it that you and I will enter into eternal life if it's not because of the righteousness of God that has been imparted to your life and mine? And how many times does God have to spell it out to us before we'd say, yes, Lord, do that work in me? It's all through the scriptures. Christ in you and I, the hope of his glory. That's God's intent. Not just a verbal witness, but a visual one. That because of Christ in us, they can see a visual display of the grace of God and the mercy of God in your life and mine. Here's an important question. Is it being fulfilled to the extent that God wants it? Or is it just coming in spurts? That's a good thing, God. No more of this. No more of this feeble faith. Build my faith, Lord, to glorify you. No more of this mediocrity in my Christianity. No more of this neither hot nor cold in my salvation. May I be a vessel of your grace by your power. These are the works that Jesus said that we would do, and greater works, because he goes to the Father. This is the key right here to understanding God's intent for his children, you and I, this morning. It's a reminder to not miss out on God's plan as a saved child of God for his glory. Wait a minute. And for the salvation of those that we're praying for. And if you're here and don't know the Lord, don't have that assurance, that's where it all begins. Amen? The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity to follow him when he says, come follow me, he meant every bit of it. Everything about him, follow by his grace and power. And all we have to do is just invite him and ask him, yes, Lord, I see the promise now. Do that in me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, may we realize the invitation that's been given to us begins at salvation. And many, if not everybody in this room, professes to know you. But Lord, are we daily inviting you and calling upon you to show us great and mighty things that you want to do for your honor and glory and our blessing in and through our lives. Bless the invitation. May you be glorified. May we be drawn closer to you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.